It is time, as we always kick off hour number two, the 10 o'clock hour here on Sunday in the Country, to bring in Willie Hallahan, who hosts the website sportingacause.com. And that sportingacause.com is all about events that are fundraisers, but they are also sporting events or related to sporting events one way or the other. And you can see the whole list of different events that come up that you might want to participate in. And you can just go there and check it out on a daily basis at sportingacause.com. But we are after the July 4th holiday. The mid break of the baseball season is upon us. And it's also time for Willie Hallahan to be upon us. Willie, good morning.
Good morning, Marshall, and happy summer to you. We're in the midst of that, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And looking at your site, you have a bunch of stuff to talk about here this morning.
Yes. We're at the middle of the summer, means lots of events. We're in a tad of a lull this week. There aren't the usual 14 or 15 events going on this week, but that's okay. Today is the Angevine Farm Half Marathon. That's a new event this year. Hosted by Steep Endurance, which is a for-profit company that engineers events in different venues and gives a portion of the profits to worthy causes. It's a very legitimate way to have a sports-related fundraiser. That's being held at Angevine Farm in Morris, and it involves State Forest and other. It's a trail event. Tomorrow, Monday, the Torrington Winsted Rotary Club, their 31st annual golf classic, that's a long time for a golf tournament, will be held at the Torrington Country Club. That benefits a whole host of nonprofits. Rotary clubs typically, of course, their reason is philanthropic, but they always support a bunch of things. The chief among them are scholarships for high school students, but also like the Torrington Library and Parkinson's disease research and the School for the Blind, and it goes on and on and on. And that's tomorrow. Next Friday, another golf tournament, the Thomas Berlinghoff 12th Annual Memorial Golf Tournament. It's being held over at Beekman Golf Golf Club in Hopewell Junction. That also benefits scholarships for Weebatuck High School students and some other charities. The following day, on Saturday the 13th, Drive for the Cure, 9th Annual Golf Tournament. That's hosted by Under Mountain Golf Course. That used to be the Judy Mitchell Tournament, long-running tournament that raised money for cancer research, and it morphed into a Drive for a Cure, which continued that beneficiary. And it's morphed again into an event where the proceeds benefit a local family in need. It changes year to year, but it's one I've played in for years. I'll be playing in that, and it's always a fun tournament over there. And also on the 13th is the Litchfield Hills Triathlon and Duathlon. This is a slightly different athletic endeavor. It's a triathlon, traditional as they traditionally are. There's a swim and a bike and a run. But you can also just do the swim and bike. That's the duathlon part of it. And that's being held. It starts at Brody Park, and Brody Park is the beneficiary of the proceeds. A lot of things happen at Brody Park. And then the following day, the Monday, starting the next week, is the Unico Golf Tournament. That's the UNICO. If you're not familiar with that, that's the largest Italian-American service organization in the country. And they, like the Rotary Club, raise money for all kinds of local charities. And then we're on to the next weekend, which is just makes up for the lull this coming week. There's things going on at Lime Rock, Canaan Railroad Days, where there's sports-related fundraisers for that, and just on and on and on. So we've got a lot going on. But with the extra minute or two we have, I wanted to address something that's it's timely. I probably should have done this several weeks ago to start off the season, but with all the things going on, there are also a bunch of bicycle rides going on. We've already had the Discover Connecticut ride and the Discover New York, and there was a Bike and Fly up in Great Barrington, but there's some still coming up. There's the Tour of Litchfield Hills, the Harlem Valley Rail Ride over in Millerton, and something has to be said about this. During these events, typically when there's a tour, a ride, these are non-competitive, by the way. Whenever you see ride, it means it's a non-competitive, non-racing event. But typically, the participants will be offered several rides from 10 or 12 miles up to a century, a 100-mile ride. So when these events are going on, there are bikers all over the place. And we all know, it's not always talked about, but there's a basic incompatibility between motorists and bicycles. There's basically only one reason why. You've got two groups of varying speeds, like cars go 40 to 50 miles an hour, a bicyclist is going 10 to 20, so in the same lane. So it's a problem, quite frankly. And the recipes for disaster are there constantly. And besides the speed differentiation, there's nothing we can do about that. But there's a basic misunderstanding, I believe, still, where both sides don't really understand both the responsibilities that the other have, and not to mention the rights. For example, I'm guessing that probably one of the first incidences of road rage involved a motorist coming up behind a pair of bicyclists in his lane or her lane, and they had to stop because they couldn't get by them because of an oncoming car, and rage ensued. I mean, everybody's experienced it. In a perfect world, every road would also have a bike lane. You know, but of course, that doesn't exist. That would be perfect. You know, we keep the two entities separate. In the next most perfect world, I suppose, if every road had an adequate shoulder, 4 or 5 feet for bikes to ride, again, keep the two entities separate. But that's not the case. Shoulders go from 4 feet wide down to nothing. I walk every day in Canaan. I walk down 44 just past my house. And of course, as a pedestrian, I'm facing traffic, but I'm walking down in there. I'm on the left-hand side of that white line on the side, but the asphalt is crumbling into the ditch on my left side, so I'm walking down a strip about a foot and a half wide, and I always wear a cap, a baseball cap, my Sporting a Cause cap, and when there's an oncoming tractor-trailer or a box truck, I tilt my head down so that it doesn't blow my hat off. I mean, they're going that fast, that close to me. So the point is that the roads just aren't wide enough. And what's made worse is the most scenic places to ride a bicycle in the summertime are the roads that are the most dangerous. They're the narrow, windy, hilly country roads where the vistas are great, but the possibility for vehicle and motor car and bicycle interaction is at its highest. So one of the things that motorists don't realize is that, one, a bicyclist has the right to the road. They can ride in the lane where your car is. They can't ride double or three across. You know, single lane, single file is the rule of the road. And if you come up behind a bicyclist who's going 20 and you have oncoming traffic, you have to stop or slow down until the oncoming car passes and you have the opportunity to pull out and go around them. More often than not, people don't slow down. They'll shoot that gap between the oncoming car and the bicyclists. And I used to ride myself. I was in the bicycling industry years ago. And more than once, I've had my shoulder brushed by a side view mirror, and it's wrong. The car is wrong there. Of course, if you're a bicyclist and you get hit by a car and you're in the right, there's little satisfaction to that if you're dead or maimed. But cars have to understand that bicyclists have the same rights to the road that the car has. Now, on the other hand, the bicyclists have to realize that they are obligated to the same rules of the road that the car is, and they often don't do that. That means you don't ride two abreast. You have to ride single file. You don't ride in the middle of the lane because you don't need to. You stay to the side because, you know, you're a small vehicle and you should be there and giving as much opportunity for cars to pass you because you're so slow. It's not easy being, and when you come to a stop sign or a red light, a bicyclist has to stop, just like a car does. And it's inconvenient. For the same inconvenience that a car has to slow down for a bicyclist, it's inconvenient for a bicyclist to stop because you got to yank your feet out of the toe clips and so forth, but that's the way it is. I guess what I'm trying to preach here is let's give some thought. I mean, when you're in a car and you see a bicycle coming up, think about what you're doing here. With lives literally hanging in the balance, it's not a big deal to slow down, let oncoming traffic go by, and then pull out and go around bicyclists. If you're a bicyclist, remember you're in a dangerous position. There's no doubt about it, and you have to go by the rules of the road. One of the most dangerous things for a bicyclist to do, by the way, is say they're coming up upon an intersection. They want to make a left-hand turn. They have to cross the lane that they're already in over towards the center line, put their arm out to indicate that they're turning left, like we used to do in cars back in the old days before directional lights, and then have to wait until oncoming cars go by and they have cars going by on around them on the right-hand side, and they're right in the middle there. So there's... At best, it's a scary proposition to be riding. And with the tour season starting, lots of times you'll have a string of 20 bikes in a row on a road. Hopefully they're keeping to the side as best they can, but I guess caution is what I'm preaching here. Everybody's out to have a good time, and disaster lurks everywhere. And if people realize that, we could all be safer for it.
Well, it's something for people to remember, both on the bikes and in cars, and we also include motorcycles and people that run scooters now, because there's a lot of that on the road, too.
That's right.
Everybody has the right to the road. There are limitations on both sides, and there's no reason for people not to be able to share the road one way or the other.
Right.
All right, Willie, great job.
Well, thank you, Marshall, as always, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, we're going to have to take a pause next week. You know why?
Why is that?
The Falls Village Car Show.
Ah.
And I do believe that I will be out at the car show next week.
Okay.
And I'll be doing reports from there. But maybe what we can do is I'll tape you earlier in the week, and we'll schedule that for playback during the 9 to 12 hours. That sound good to you?
Perfect. Absolutely. Be in touch.
All right, Willie. Take care.
You too, Marshall. Bye.
Willie Allahan and Sporting a Cause, sportingacause.com, here on Robin Hood Radio.